A third of Zimbabwe's population faces a food crisis. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. First, though, mining giant Glencore announced this morning it's shuttering production at the world's biggest cobalt mine at the end of the year because it's no longer economically viable. That's sending shares down more than 2.5%. The BBC's Russell Padmore reports.
Glencore revealed its plan to suspend production at the Mutanda mine in the DRC from December, as it unveiled a big drop in profits for the first half of the year, down about a third to almost $6 billion. An increase on taxes in mining by the DRC has also hit the company. The price of cobalt has fallen 40% this year because of a surge in supplies from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Last year, Glencore's Mutanda mine produced 27,000 tonnes of the metal, a fifth of the world's supplies. Cobalt has a range of industrial uses, from being used in the manufacture of smartphones or a component in batteries for electric cars or jet engines. When it's mixed with other metals, it can stand high temperatures. The decision to suspend operations at the DRC mine is the latest setback for Glencore in the African country, where its business practices are under investigation by the United States Department of Justice. Last week, Glencore revealed it had started an overhaul of its underperforming African business following the huge drop in cobalt prices. The company's shares fell today to their lowest price since 2016, as investors reacted to the news that cobalt mining, once considered a focus of the company's future as the world moves towards adopting more electric cars, has now become a liability.
Russell Padmore. Let's do the numbers. Stocks in Asia ended the session mixed, while European shares are mostly higher. Profits at SoftBank jumped to a new record in the first quarter. That's as the Japanese tech giant prepares to launch its second investment fund focused on artificial intelligence. But weaker industrial production data out of Germany, Europe's biggest economy, is continuing to fuel worries about growth in the region. Also today, a trio of rate cuts. Thailand delivered its first rate cut in 4 years. New Zealand slashed its benchmark rate more than expected. And India lowered rates for the fourth straight meeting. Boosting growth is the goal, especially in India, where economic expansion is at a five-year low. The BBC's Samir Hashmi has more from Mumbai.
Overall, the sentiment in the economy is quite negative. And it's in that backdrop that the Reserve Bank of India has gone ahead and cut the key lending rate higher than expected. And the reason for that is the businesses, the government, banks, everyone feels that a rate cut would help boost the sentiment on the ground. But that's really up for debate right now because this is the fourth consecutive cut. The banks have not been able to pass on those cuts to consumers or businesses because they themselves have been struggling.
So what's ailing India? Because New Zealand also cut rates more than anticipated. And it's probably feeling the fallout from the US-China trade war. But India's exports have been growing.
You know, unlike China, India's economy is very domestic driven, which means it really relies on people staying in India to spend money, which drives demand, which in turn creates jobs. So the moment consumer demand falls, that really has a huge impact on the overall business sentiment. Despite India's economy growing fast, companies have not been making higher profits. And 60 to 70% of India's economy relies on small and medium-sized businesses. Now, these are, a lot of them are unorganized, as we call them over here, which are not part of the mainstream economy. And they have been also struggling on the ground. And that naturally leads to a slowdown of an economy.
What about the tensions in Kashmir and turmoil in emerging markets? They've dented the rupee. So do you think this rate cut will only weigh on that more?
Yes, there are multiple factors which has led really to the rupee weakening. The other factor is the oil. The moment oil prices start fluctuating or become volatile, it has an immediate impact on the Indian rupee because to meet their oil needs, India has to import oil. And that has a direct impact on India's currency because they have to pay in dollars. So the moment there's some volatility combined with trade tension plus, you know, the Fed decision, all this starts to weigh down on the rupee.
Samir Hashmi. The United Nations has stepped up its emergency appeal for Zimbabwe, warning that more than 5 million people, or a third of the population, will need food aid before the next harvest. The head of the World Food Programme said many Zimbabweans are marching towards starvation. The news is all the more shocking given Zimbabwe was once Southern Africa's breadbasket. The BBC's Shingai Nyoka has more from Harare.
About 2.2 million people are affected immediately. Overall, 7 million people, both in the urban and rural areas, face hunger or are food insecure. People have had to cut down on their meals. Some children are going to school without food. Experts say that this is expected to get worse in the coming months when the lean season starts in October.
What's gone wrong? Because Zimbabwe's come out of dictatorship. It's trying to attract foreign investment, create jobs. What's going on?
Well, there are multiple factors that have come together to create this crisis. The foremost one in terms of food production is this devastating drought, the worst in about 40 years. Essentially, this has dried out the water sources. The drought has affected the Kariba Dam, which is the major hydropower dam in the country. Last year, levels there were at 85%. We understand now they're at about 29%. And if the levels drop, they'll have to shut down the electricity supply. This has really affected farmers who needed the water to irrigate. The major issue is the drought, but there's also just an ongoing economic crisis. The country doesn't have foreign currency to import food, and it really is in need of assistance.
Shinga Nyoka there in Harare in Zimbabwe. Finally, the growth of streaming has emboldened content makers. A group of YouTubers is teaming up with Europe's biggest trade union to try and force the platform to be more transparent on pay. The YouTubers Union has joined forces with IG Metall to launch something called FairTube. They've given YouTube until August 23rd to respond to a set of demands, or they're threatening possible legal action. So watch that space. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, coming to you live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.